It's not a cartoon. It's anime.
Yes. Welcome to another episode of Animation. 3/4 of the squad is back. Myself, Brennan, Ice. No Rob today. He's
It's 3/4 of the squad and I'm included.
For once.
Normally he's the fourth that's always missing. I forgot exactly. I know Rob had to he's out of town or busy today.
Something with his fiance, because he's engaged.
Yeah. When you're engaged, you got a lot of planning you got to do, buddy, even if it's 3 years away. You got a lot of planning. But you know what we're doing here? We do recaps on the Animation Podcast. We do recaps. We do debates, one-offs. We do movies. And today is actually one of these kind of one-offs that we're going to do. It's not a movie this time. We actually, we're going to do a quick review of Promise Neverland. That's right, Promise Neverland. I don't know if y'all seen it. Hopefully you have. If you haven't, this will contain spoilers. I know we never said that before most of our podcast episodes, but I'm saying it this time. And, you know, stay, because spoilers are fun. They're just fun to listen to and watch. And you get a chance to hear some spoilers on this one. So, yeah, Promise Neverland. I know.
I'm sorry, did Keenan just say spoilers are fun?
He's been saying that. You know, he's a spoiler king.
Yeah,
to his defense, he's the spoiler king of he likes to consume spoilers. He doesn't spoil anything for other people.
Well, I won't spoil it. Yeah,
I'll give him that. He wants to, though. That doesn't take away from desire. He wants to spoil shit.
Because
like,
it's not
I
want to
spoil Demon Slayer. I want to spoil Demon Slayer.
I swear to
so
God.
Bad.
I would never forgive you. I would either quit the podcast or remove you from the podcast. One of the two.
But that's the thing. It's like for me, it's like sometimes I run into accidental spoilers and I'll just keep watching. It's just like it's there. So I don't necessarily fully trip. I don't necessarily always go seeking for it, but hey, it is what it is. But you know, Brennan's gonna do what he normally does. He's gonna give us some factual actuals. We had to do this fairly quick, so bear with us if where some things are just slipping through us, so don't worry about it. But Brennan, go ahead, drop some factual actuals, bro.
All right. So, as we said, we're watching The Promised Neverland. That was actually in print as a manga from 2016 to 2020. It actually ended on June 15th of this year, which is a weird time to end in the middle of a pandemic, but maybe that was part of the reason. The manga was written by a guy, or a person, I should say, named Koi Shirai. But that's a pen name. Of a Japanese manga artist, and nobody actually knows who the real person is. Like, damn. Legit. And
how
so
do they
far,
make money?
I mean, the people who do know obviously hold a secret, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But the general public doesn't know who this person is. The only thing that we know is that this same pen name was used to make their first anime or manga called Ashley Gate, which is a shonen, mm-hmm. which was debuted on Shonen Jump Plus, and it came out in 2015. And so that's it. That's what we know. It's a very popular manga in Japan and all over the world. And that's it. That's what we know. Like,
and this guy or girl is just walking around like, y'all don't even know I got one of the hottest mangas.
Straight up. I wrote one of the things that has fucked up so many people in so many ways. And I'm just cool with that. I'm cool with not being known for it.
I thought the writer was revealed, because I thought when I was watching this a video on it earlier today, he was saying talking about some of what the differences was between the manga and the anime. Maybe I'm wrong.
I think
maybe
the writer, because you know there's a separate writer for the anime versus the manga.
Right. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay.
So
that makes
the
sense.
Writer for the anime is known. The writer for that original idea in the manga, as far as my research could tell me, isn't known. If I'm wrong, I'm perfectly comfortable being wrong. This is my research that I did somewhat hastily. But at the same time, I actually was really interested in that one particular subject line. So I actually looked into that one a little deeper. I was like, nah, I'm gonna find this motherfucker. And I didn't.
It's like some Banksy shit?
Kind of like some Banksy shit, like in all honesty. And so obviously we're watching the anime. It actually debuted in January 11th of 2019. It came out on Fuji TV. and then was later licensed to Adult Swim, because Adult Swim, as we got, as we have grown up on, and it continues to shoot the hot and spit the hot fire. I think if you look at what, you know, Toonami has done over the, like, Adult Swim and Toonami has done, like, for people like us, if it wasn't for Toonami, I wouldn't even be on this podcast right now. I just got to give credit. I wouldn't have been watching anime at all.
That's the majority. That's the majority of people out here in America, to be honest.
Yeah. So the anime,
because if you think about it, how else would we have consumed it? Like, where else have we seen it?
Well, nowhere. Before Toonami came out, I was before Toonami. So I had a homie that had some Japanese anime, because he had DVD from overseas, because I think his mom might have been half Japanese. But also too, there was like sites that you can go find stuff and watch stuff on.
When I was watching Toonami, I didn't even have a computer in my
house. That's what I'm saying. I had no computer in my house. I was lucky to have a VHS player,
My brother used to build computers. So my dad was like, that's why my brother's an engineer, because he saw that skill and was like, I'm going to put money into this skill. And my brother used to build dope ass computers at fucking like 10 years old. So
that's pretty cool. Shout out to that motherfucker.
That's dope that he stayed with it too.
Yeah.
So this is directed by, the anime was directed by Mamoru Kanabe. He's a Japanese storyboard artist and director. He's most known for the anime series Elfin Lied, Sound of the Sky,
Kimuboku. Fuck that anime, bro.
Oh, wow. How you feel about it?
Listen, I might pick that as my pick just so y'all can suffer too.
Oh, you sound like the audience. The studio that produced it is Cloverworks. They're actually a derivative of another studio that's a much bigger studio that you guys are going to know a lot of the anime from. It's A1 Pictures. A1 Pictures is owned by Sony. So, you know, the conglomerate evil Sony. And you're like, well, what did they make? Well, they made Black Butler, Fairy Tail, Blue Exorcist, Sword Art Online, Seven Deadly Sins, Erased, and a lot of the Fate series, like Fate Zero, Fate Apocalypta, Fate Stay Night, all that. They're also known. And so this particular studio, though, because what I just told you about was A1. This studio, Cloverworks, like I said, was a subsidiary of A1 and then completely separated in late 2018. And they started continuing working on the Fairy Tail series, Grand Order, and obviously this show here. If y'all didn't know, because, you know, how much anime fans love it, there is a live action version of this coming out in December of 2020. And it's already some heavy controversy about that.
Because of the sister.
Because of Crone, yeah, the black woman. And the controversy is that they cast a person who's half Japanese and half Taiwanese to play that role. So they pretty much just wrote out the black person in the live action because they're like, well, fuck them, kind of thing. Because, you know, obviously there's not enough black women that could ever do an acting role in a live action piece. So they probably
in the live live action, is it being done out here or out there?
Out there. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
oh, yeah. I mean, the talent pool for that is next to nothing.
I mean, I'm sure there's nobody that could fly out there and do it.
Nobody could even get close to that.
Yeah, yeah. I feel bad for them. I know. I'm sure they put best efforts for it.
Yes, for sure.
This this anime actually is highly accoladed. Has won a lot of things. Won the best anime, best fantasy anime for Crunchyroll 2020 Awards in February. This past February, it's named the top 100 anime in the 2010 by Crunchyroll. Won best protagonist in 2019 for the 2019 Crunchyroll Awards for Isabella. It won the best soundtrack and best drama and anime trending awards. And it's rated at 8.7 on 8.7 stars on IMDb and 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Wow.
So you can get into the story that starts us off in the year 2045. Guys, this is Keenan's impression of Rob. I'm gonna love this.
No, it is not my impression of Rob. This is me and my impression of me, because I'm not even going to try to do what the fuck Rob does. I'm not going to even attempt that. So this is going to be my version of a recap. So it will probably be a little bit all over the place. It will be some stuff will be left out. And
hey, Ice. I mean, I like for us to after this both give our rating of 9,000 out of 9,000 for Keenan's recap. For please go ahead, Keenan.
Yeah. Oh, that's some good shit.
Jury of your peers.
Oh, man. Well, I'm not going to care because this is not technically my...
Hey, man, look, you took on this role. You do your shit. I don't want to hear excuses. What you got?
First of all, I was kind of taking on this role, and you called me and said, you're going to recap, right? Because you've actually recapped when Rob doesn't recap. So I thought you were going to take that role. But hey, I luckily was already starting to do it.
Hey, I was starting excuses.
It's a lot of excuses right now.
All right, guys.
Oh, wait. Hold on. How could I forget before we get started? You thought I was going to forget. Keenan, this is a little bit more time to make sure your recap is solid. What you're listening to is, and you know, baldy headed bitch got his headphones off, but you're listening to the greatest fucking anime podcast in the entire world.
All right.
The greatest fucking anime.
You should have mouthed it like you didn't say it. So when he got back on, you should have just said it like that. All right. So like Brennan stated earlier, it takes place in 2045. It's in an orphanage house with 38 kids, and they spend their days pretty much studying, playing games, and taking tests until they're adopted. One night, after 6-year-old Connie is being sent off for adoption by mom, AKA Isabella, she's pretty much the mother or the adoption mother of the house. Emma and Norman go to bring her stuffed animal that she forgot. And, as they pass the gate, they discover that Connie's dead. That's right. She's fucking laying in the back of a truck, just dead. And, that's crazy as hell. They see that. They freak out, of course. They hide under a truck because they see these demons, and they realize that, you know, mom is pretty much exchanging Connie's dead body, who's a fucking 6-year-old, for demon. Like, pretty much she's going to be demon meat. She's going to be meat for the demons, for rich demons or whatever the case may be. So Emma and Norman eventually find out later on how the kids are being shipped out by their age and their test scores. And older children with bigger brains are pretty much considered higher quality meat. They decide to escape in the next few months before the next shipment. So they go into the forest for an escape route, and they kind of come across this high concrete wall. They realize that they can scale the wall if they have some rope or something like that. Later in the episode, this is episode 2. Later in the episode, they end up finding out that Isabella has tracking devices on them. So now their escape is going to be a lot tougher than what they thought. At first, Norman actually wants to escape with just Isabella. With Emma. He's kind of like, fuck these other kids, which is like, I mean, when you find this out, you're not probably thinking about everybody else in that moment. You're like, yo, I got to get the hell up out of here. And I got my homegirl with me that kind of a little bit of a crush on. Yo, babe, let's just do this. Let's make this like a little love story and get up out of here. That shit is... Emma's not having that because Emma has a heart. Emma has love for the other kids. And she's like, yo, I ain't leaving these other kids behind. Brennan's eating a banana. He's deep throwing a banana right now. So if you're watching the video, you'll be a chance to enjoy that.
He thought that was going to be funnier.
No, I actually lost my spot. So,
can I recap? So I'm sorry. Can I add some color to your recap if you don't mind, just from the beginning? If you don't, I just want to give a couple of extra details to give a little bit more context. From what I remember, because you spurred some memories, is that okay. the whole piece really opens on this happy household of a bunch of different orphans who are living together very happily. They're playing all the time. It feels like their whole life is a game. They're having a really good time. Good, happy energy. And we also see, though, that they have really intense testing. Like, everybody's really happy, but they're all competitive, too. Like, oh, it's another test day. We got to have this other test. And that's just what they are. They're in this test mode. And you see them take this test. The test does not look easy. And this is really the only picture into technology that we see for the year 2045 is because their testing materials is pretty high-tech stuff. You know, they're not using pencils and papers and stuff. They're using computers and tapping on a screen to be able to answer these questions. And they get all their scores afterwards. And the same three kids all scored a perfect score once again, and those are our main protagonists. It's Emma. That is, I forget their names. Help me.
Ray.
Emma,
Norman,
Ray.
Norman and Ray.
And Ray.
Emma, Norman, and Ray.
Emma, Norman, Ray. There are also three of the oldest kids that are there. They get the highest score. The youngest girl is, you know, a little girl, the teddy bear that Keenan was talking about. She's adorable. She is a huge fan of Emma and follows her around everywhere, as well as Mama Isabella or whatever her name is. And that's how we lead into, you know, the night that Isabella gets adopted is what they said. And she does not actually get adopted. What happens is mother takes her off to the other side of the property. Everybody celebrates her leaving and saying, good job. Make sure you write us a letter. For some reason, nobody ever writes us letters, but it's okay because they're enjoying their new life and their new family so much. We're going to miss you so much. She leaves and they establish that she always has her teddy bear with her at all times in that first episode. But she leaves. And after she leaves at night, that she's gone, she's already left the house. They see her light disappear over the hill. And they're like, suddenly Norman is like, oh shit, like, yo, she forgot her teddy bear. And then one of the other smart kids, what's his other boy's name?
Ray.
Ray was just like, well, you should probably go give it to her. She's probably not to the gate yet. So Emma is like, I'll help. And they both run over there to help and give her back her teddy bear. And they get there and they're devastated to see her dead, like a dead, lifeless body. And there's alien demon things like over top of her. They hide and be able to hear all the things Keenan said that happened, which that's all happening in the first episode. And that leads us and sets the stage of what this whole show is that this is not what you think it is.
Yeah.
You should just recap the whole thing. If what you should.
I just don't remember chronologically what happens. I just, like, as you're talking, I can help. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's episode one. So, you know, after
it was
that,
a lot in episode one. It was a lot of episode one. That's how you get me into episode one, is to reveal that stuff. And now I'm going to be locked in to watch the rest of the show. So leaving off where I left off, kind of, I think where, okay. So Ray noticing them getting some tablecloths to scale the wall. And, so he ends up revealing that, so they end up revealing their plan to him to let him know, like, hey man, cause he kind of caught them, like, what are they doing? So they just let them know. Ray actually agrees to collaborate with them, after being advised by Norman. Isabella ends up inducing, a new sister, Sister Chrome, which is a black lady who's kind of drawn, just a little bit too slavey for me, to be honest. Not feeling how they were really depicting her, but I mean, that's fucking anime, to be honest.
Hold on. I'm gonna slow you down again. I'm here for this. Now, if you don't mind me doing this, you care if I slow you down to add some stuff?
Yeah.
All right.
It was a bunch that happened in between.
Yeah, I was gonna say you skipped so much,
bro. This is episode three.
So early on, after Emma and Norman discover what's going on, they tell whatever his name is, the other kid.
Just recap it, Brennan. Just recap it, bro.
Well, I'm just saying, I don't remember. I watched this shit like last year. Okay, but either way, they realize there's a problem and they don't know what to do. And they start having an internal debate of saying, like, we have to escape. This is a problem. But also, most of the kids that are with them are little. Like little kids, and they're like, yo, we can't tell these little kids. They're not going to be able to keep it away from mom, because they realize that mom, the one who they've loved and has loved them their whole lives, is literally selling them to aliens to eat their brains. So it's like a conundrum. Like, first of all, they're all devastated. But at the same time, they have to figure out what's the smartest thing to do. And obviously, as it has been established, these are the smartest kids. And so they have to sit back and think, like, all right, well, we need to escape. And Norman, I mean, what's his name? The mean little kid that's like the smart. What's the third kid's name again?
Ray.
Ray is just like you said, Keenan, he's just like, yo, Emma, me and Norman, like, let's just dip out. We can do it. Like, the three of us, we're super smart. Like, we can go. And Emma is the biggest hearted kid. And she's just like, no, all my babies have to come with me. And they're just like, shit. Like, that's going to be really hard, especially if we can't tell them what's happening. So instead of telling them what's happening, they devise a new way of training the kids to be able to
I have all this in my thing. That's what I'm saying. Y'all speaking to y'all. I think I don't understand where I'm recapping the episodes. I think you might have your order mixed up. That's all. Because I have this in my fucking recap.
All right, go ahead, man. You finish your goddamn recap. I don't have faith in your recap, storytelling ass. Go ahead. Do it.
Okay. Then you recap. You recap before.
You ready. You got it. Go ahead. I'm going to shut up.
Hey, man. Like I said, I'm recapping the way Keenan recaps. If Brennan wants to recap, he could do another episode of recapping this shit by himself.
Recap the shit, bitch. Just recap it.
He do an episode by himself, just doing a recap. No score, no nothing.
If that's the case. All right. Shit, man. Now I got to go back where the fuck I left off at.
Are we at episode four?
He said all that. The main character is assuming that she's not going to, she's going to be another main enemy. Norman and the gang have to rethink their whole plan. Now that they find out they have tracking devices, and Isabella and Chrome might suspect that they actually know what's going on. That was all episode two, actually.
Because what also happened too is
Let him finish it. Because
he already passed it. So just for context, like, they left Connie's teddy bear at the site at the gate, and Mother picked it up. So she knows that somebody was over there at the gate. Like, she knows that, like, hey, there was some kids over there. So one of these kids are
I forgot to say that. I was running through it so fast. It's in there. My bad. But there, at the end of the day, hey, Rob forgets shit too. This is not supposed to be a thorough recap, motherfuckers. The recap.
Hey man, just finish your goddamn recap.
All right, just stop interrupting me.
I miss Rob.
Like, you think I want to do this shit? My brain is not thorough like his in the sense of recapping like this. This is ridiculous.
I can't wait until Rob listens to this episode. He's like,
he's not, because he doesn't want to spoil it.
No, he's gonna be like, "You guys are nothing without me." The one time he listens to this, hopefully he never listens to this, because he's gonna realize how dependent on him we really are. Mm. We over here just fumbling. But go ahead, Kenan.
Well, at the end of the day, we recap this quicker than we were supposed to. So this is like, if I had more time to recap, it would be a little bit more thorough. It wouldn't be as good as it is still. But yeah. Anyways, later that night, the kid suspects someone is either spying on them or helping Isabella. Episode four, Norman kind of moves their day up, giving them only 10 days to prepare now, because he's afraid that everybody knows, like, that Mom and Isabella and Crow know what's going on. So they got to get the fuck up out of there quicker than they want to. Norman and Emma choose to share their secret with two other kids, but they don't tell them, which is Gilda. What's his name? Gilda and I think Don.
Yeah. Yep.
So they he shares the secret. But they don't tell them that Connie was actually killed and used for demon meat, which is, you don't give everything up at once. So Norman starts to lay some traps with the ropes around, because they start to find out that there might be an informant, because Isabella and Crona are kind of getting some information. They were like, how the hell are they getting this information, especially Isabella? So Norman actually lays some traps to see who is actually Isabella's informant. He puts these ropes in certain places, and he tells the two people that he just forgot their names again. Dom and
Gilda.
He lets them know, hey, the ropes are over here. Then he lets Ray know that the ropes are over on this place. Later on, Isabella actually gets a note from her informant, and it tells her where the ropes are. The next day, as they're searching some stuff for the ropes, Norman goes, "Hey, bruh, you out here stitching like a little bitch, dog. You 6'9" and out here, fam. So, we can't rock with you, pretty much." Ray pretty much tells him, like, look, yes, I'm an informant, but I'm doing this to pretty much get more information out of Isabella. His loyalty is kind of questioned, but he eventually sides with Ray if he says let's escape, don't tell the other kids. So this is episode five. So this is why I said y'all was running too quick. This all happened in episode five. So they eventually end up telling he's like, bro, I can't do that. I'm not standing for that. I can't pretty much lie to Emma. Emma ends up finding out that Mom has a hidden room which she uses to report back to headquarters. I forgot how she actually finds that out, but she ends up finding it out. Don and Gilda end up looking for the room anyways, after these motherfuckers were told not to. Don't look for the room, but they go look for the room anyway, because these are two hard-headed kids. And they find the room, and Emmett actually tells Ray and Norman about finding Morse codes. Later on, they end up finding out Morse codes in a book. So Emma tells Ray about the Morse codes that are in this library that they found in these books with this little owl, and it's saying a secret message. They feel like that message is from somebody that might have escaped and is sending books back to the library to tell the kids, or so the kids can possibly one day figure it out. Which I think is kind of fucked up, because, you know, that's pretty difficult to just figure out Morse code. I still don't know how to read Morse code, and I'm 35. Later on, actually, Don ends up, Don and Gil find a hidden room. Oh, yeah, so Don and Gil end up finding the hidden room with the communication device, and all the toys left by the kids that were adopted, and they, of course, they get overcome with emotion. and end up finding out that they were lying about Connie still being alive. And Don doesn't even run the fade with Norman. He just knocks him out. He sucker punches Norman, cold clocks his ass, drops him. I guess it might be well deserved, but we never know. Later on, Ray gets confronted by Isabella that he will be the next one shipped out. Krone also tells Emma that the kids that she knows.
Right?
You said what?
Because it's his birthday.
No, she's telling Ray that he'll be shipped out because she kind of knows that he kind of knows some shit.
Well, no, he said that she tells him that she's going to ship him out because they're the November, instead of doing it when they usually do it, they're shipping it, they pushed it back, and they're going to, instead of doing it in December, they're doing it in January. And then Ray's like, oh shit, that's my 12th birthday. And she's like, yeah.
Ah, yes. Okay. Thank you for that, dropping that quick tidbit. Look, what's about Krone? Krone also tells Emma that the kids that she knows, that they know what's actually house. Emma ends up Krone ends up telling Emma that, hey, I know that you guys know about what the house is really about. So we can either join forces because I actually want this spot. I want the number one spot. I want Isabella up out of here, and I want this place for my own so I can be the lead. And I'll be willing to help you guys if you guys kind of help me so I can get this orphanage for me, and I can become the main mother of this orphanage. Krone ends up telling the kids that she wants Isabella's spot. Normally takes women. Normally the women can become the head of an orphanage. So women normally have a chance to actually survive all this this eating and killing and shit like that. And Krone kind of tells her a little bit that she's actually one of them. She reveals her neck tattoo and, hey, I'm one of y'all, fam. So, you know, I actually can't even leave a certain radius or whatever because it's pretty much like a bomb type thing in my chest. And if I do, it'll kill me. So I can't go exploring as much as you probably would want me to do to help you out. But she tells him that, look, y'all can come up to me and ask me any questions that you want later on if you want to. And we can meet up at night and just have this kind of secret kind of meeting to find out more stuff. They actually end up going to Krone, asking her some questions about which, but they figure she's still hiding some shit because she just looks suspicious the whole time. Later in the episode, I'm going to skip some stuff here, which you probably already start to realize, but whatever. Later, Isabella actually gives Krone her walking papers and is like, hey, bitch, I know you're trying to get me because Ray was kind of telling me some stuff that you were trying to come for my spot. So, yeah, I'm getting you shipped up out of here and you're leaving pretty much today. She ends up going to the middle passage and pretty much she meets with, I guess, grandmother, and she's telling her like, grandmother, please, you know, Isabella out here trying to do this and this and that. And grandmother's like, yeah, man, Isabella's gonna stay the queen of the house, bitch. So I'm out. And then you see these demons roll up on her like, yo, we love dark meat. And
now grandma rolls up on her.
I already said that. Mm-hmm. I said grandma talks to her and
yeah, that's right, tells the demons. Her, all right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Krone actually has a flashback. She has a flashback to, you know, her growing up and her having to go through all her training and stuff like that. You see, the whole time she kind of has like this weird looking daughter's kind of ripped up. And I just saw the text message, so you can go fuck yourself, Brennan. I just saw the text. I can see because my text is on my laptop, so I see it. I saw it just pop up. So
I don't know what you're saying. I don't know what you're talking about.
You can go fuck yourself. It doesn't matter to me, and I don't care to have to recap again with this much time, anyways. But yeah, she has this raggedy daughter that she was carrying the whole time, and you kind of see how she's kind of bringing that doll along as she's growing up, and you know she ends up pretty much getting murdered by the demons. And that's the end of her. The other kids are starting to set up a plan, but Isabella locks Ray in a room. Isabella finds Emma and Ray and tells them to stop. Ray and Emma are trying to go to the escape route and kind of plan that stuff out a little bit more. And pretty much Ray gets caught. Isabella is pretty much like, yo, you're going to be locked up in here. She ends up going after Ray and Emma and Norman, finds them. Emma's like, yo, I got to pretty much stop you so Ray can escape or whatever like that. She ends up breaking Emma's leg. and pretty much tells him, like, look, bruh, y'all pretty much dead out here in these streets. Y'all some dead motherfuckers, and y'all should just come back, man. Y'all super smart, but y'all gonna be up out of here. And
Brennan, you ain't shit, bro.
After she breaks, he's not, but I really don't care. She tells Norman pretty much like, bro, you're going to be actually shipped out tomorrow because you're high quality meat. The kids try to give Norman, their last goodbye. And,
That shit was sad.
It's a very sad moment. They're hugging him. Emma actually says, so just give it one last try, man. And because, you know, he feel like his plans are just going to be, he doesn't want to put anybody else in danger. She's like, Emma's like, hey, just use this last thing, because what you could do is actually, you can either hide yourself, like cut your ear off or whatever, hide yourself for a little bit, or you could pretend cut your ear off, or you could like pretend like you died or something like that, and you know, we can escape later, and you can just hide under that house or whatever like that. And Ray's just like, bro, I can't do that. She tries to give him one last chance to like just zap the thing in his ear. He's like, nah, he pushes her away, and then pretty much he gets left, and he gets taken to the middle passage, and it's kind of fucked up. I skipped a lot of shit right there, but it is what it is. We see Ray in the middle passage. Norman in the middle passage, and he's kind of sitting there with his nice little hat on, looking like Tahir Moore. And he looks up and he's just like, yo, man, this is the end. And it just cuts. And it's a pretty sad fucking moment. Isabella now tells Emma, like, look, he's pretty much dead, but I'm gonna give you the option to pretty much get your shit together, and you could possibly become a mom if you complete your training, if you do the things right. You could become a mother, and you won't be pretty much get killed like all the other kids will be. Ray starts telling the kids that because Ray's about to get shipped out now on his day. And Ray starts telling the kids that he's about to get shipped out. He's going around telling all the kids like, hey, this is my last day, blah, 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 because all the kids kind of know what's going on now. He asks Emma that, did you ever, I hope you didn't give up the plan. And she reveals to him with a nice cynical smile, like, I never gave up. I would never give up. There's a plan to actually set the house on fire. But Ray has another plan to say, hey, I'm going to also set myself on fire so they can't get this nice quality meat from your boy Ray, and y'all get a distraction and get a chance to escape. Norman actually told Emma this Ray's plan to set himself on fire. So he actually gave her a counter plan to which when they end up setting Ray on fire, it's not really setting him on fire. They actually set some hair and some meat from the school on fire, thinking that it's a body, but it's really not. So the house gets set on fire. The kids are escaping through the wall hangers and sheets and to the other side of the wall because there's a big old gap. Isabella sees Emma, who's the last one to cross, and they actually have a moment. And Isabella actually essentially just lets her escape. She doesn't really stop her. And then Isabella actually has her own flashback and memories about training to become a mother. And she ends up getting pregnant. I want to know who smashed, because she gets pregnant from somebody. So she's pregnant. This whole time she's humming a song. There's something that I actually forgot, but I'll get to that in a second. But she's humming this particular song during her flashback. One day she sees Ray humming that same song, and it was actually revealed earlier that Ray has something called infantile something. I forgot what it's called, but it's a memory where you can recall memories from when you're a child. And he's humming that song because he can memorize everything, even when he was a baby in the womb and crossing the passage. So he remembers every single thing. So this whole time he knew what was going on, and that's why he was like doing deals with mom to try to get these particular items to make these particular things so they can escape. And mom ends up realizing like, oh shit, at some point that Ray was actually her son that she was forced to give up for adoption. And Ooh. that's a fucked up reveal. That reveal fucked me all the way up. And then she eventually takes down all the ropes after her flashback, goes back and tells Phil, which is one of the little kids. And there's probably some shit going on with Phil that we don't know that I actually looked up. But Phil, she tells Phil like, hey, man, I'm just letting you know, because I know you already know, because they actually tell Phil what's happening. He goes, hey, man, I already know what's going on. So Phil actually kind of knew some shit. during all the stuff going down. So she tells Phil, like, hey, man, just let you know the kids escaped successfully and they're good. And Phil actually knew all the little kids wouldn't escape with them because they were little kids. They wouldn't listen. So that's my I'm going to say what it is. That's my bullshit ass recap. That's what that was. That's the Keenan bullshit recap. That's what we going. That's and when I recap, that's what we call it. The Keenan bullshit recap. It ain't Rob's. I'm going to speed through stuff. I'm going to go through stuff. There's stuff that was missed. The stuff that I was backtracking on during my recap. I was reading so fast that I was actually missing my own stuff in my recap. And I had about 30 minutes to prepare this recap. So this is what you get. The Keenan bullshit recap. So I don't know if y'all want to just add your little tidbits. Yeah, I say add your little tidbits when it's your time to talk about your likes and your dislikes. Do you guys have any questions at all that you might have came that you come up with when what was being going on in the recap?
Yeah, I have a few. I can start if you unless Ice looks excited. No, go ahead, Ice.
I'll just wait after you go because we probably got the same questions.
Okay. I mean, let's just go one at a time. I'll just go with one.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go 1-1-1.
So my first question would be is his name is Ray, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is if you were Ray, would you be able to be the mole? Like, would you be able to be the person that's feeding information and keeping all the kids happy, even though you know it's happening to all the kids who love you and adore you for all the time that you've been doing it? Could you do it? So... for the privileges he gets, the privileges and things like that he gets for that. My answer to that question is, man, this whole show's fucked up. Like, every situation that happens in this show is so fucked up. Every position every single kid in this show is in is fucked up. And it's even more fucked up that they're kids. As an adult, I don't even know how to answer this question. You know what I'm saying? Like, right now, be like, Brennan, like, actually, you have a tag in your ear and you're going to be harvested in a few years, just like all your friends were. And I just be like, but we're telling you this because we need your help. And we'll give you, make sure you get that new PS5. You know what I'm saying? Or that new Xbox. You'll be able to play all you want until your day. You know what I'm saying? You'll be able to
live comfortably up until that time.
You'll live good. You'll live better than anybody else during that time. You'll have extra privilege and extra food and all these other things. But you just got to make sure we maintain what's maintained so that we get what we want. Bruh, I honestly don't know. I could see myself going either way. You know what I'm saying? In my like heart's heart, like because I'm being recorded right now and this is like an audience, I'm like, of course I wouldn't do that. I would never betray people. But like when you really think about it, your heart's heart is like, if I truly felt there was no hope of escape and really was just like, I'm going to die too. I might as well live my life as good as I can, I guess. Then I could see myself doing that as well. But I feel like I would be like, I can't ever see myself being like an Uncle Tom, but I could see myself being kind of like what Ray did. It's like you do it and kind of like ease everybody, like give them a little, yeah, go take him the teddy bear. Take on the fucking teddy bear, you know, kind of thing. And like just try to get everybody to that point. Like, yeah, y'all know that's crazy. Don't tell mom, you know, that kind of stuff. So like, I feel like I would probably try to play it like Ray did, but less dramatic.
I feel like from what I remember watching, Ray was doing all this to get items so he can escape.
Yeah.
So in actuality, he had to do what he had to do. I don't know if I could even consider this necessarily a full Uncle Tom type move. I feel like this is more like, all right, when you're doing the move like this, people have to die. People have to be sacrificed. I don't think there's any other way unless you just all out say, I'm going to murder mom tonight. And still, what's the plan? Like, do you know where to go? Do you know what to do? Do you know anything? So I think for me, I think you have to come to terms like, oh shit, people are gonna have to be sacrificed for the greater cause. But like at the end of the day, I'm going to still be able to save as many kids as I can save. But some people are gonna have to be killed. And I'm gonna save more that's gonna be being killed. So I might have to do it this way and get these items so I can possibly save as many kids as possible. So it is a tough decision, but it's either that or just let everybody get murdered. And I think I would rather let fewer people get murdered than everybody get murdered. So I would kind of do what Ray, I guess someone did. He was pretty much being the mole but gathering these items. And, you know, he probably wasn't giving them all the information, but he was giving them enough information to get what he needs to get. So I probably would. Ice?
Yeah, I would do it just to help out my homies. I think initially I'd probably take it on just because, depending on when this was brought to my attention, if I didn't have those, Huh?
Oh, you didn't? If you didn't have those memories?
Yeah. So okay. I think if somebody like laid it out like how Brennan did, was like, sit me down, tell me all of this. If I don't have no connection with the kids, and then I'll be able to do it. But then after I started to build these close relationships and friendships, then they'd be like, okay, wait, like, I fuck with y'all, so I can't really do that. So I think if I was just a cold-blooded individual, I'd be able to do it. But just me as a person I am today, there's no way. I would really work on a plan, devise a plan. And it's kind of like you said, you want as little casualties as possible, but somebody going to have to die in order for you to get all of the knowledge possible. But I would like to keep that to a minimum and act on my plan as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't think you get out of any type of situation like this without any casualties. I think it's impossible. Oh, yeah. I think you just be like, all right, man, just hopefully I'll just try to get this together as quick as possible and as efficient as possible and get it done. And I save as many kids and we'll have a proper burial or a proper send off for the kids that didn't get it. And we'll get revenge for them. We'll kill these demons and or the people that send them off. So my question is it's about Norman. Do you think Norman should have took the plan of, you know, either hiding out or faking his death until everything came back around so they can escape? I think Norman might have jumped the gun in the sense of just being like, no, fuck it. I don't want to do this. Maybe he is technically, the smartest kid. So maybe he has a premonition of what's going to happen. And he was going to sacrifice himself. I mean, technically sacrifice himself for the greater good, for the plan. So if this, him having to die will help the plan out. But I still think there was a way he could have, like, did the whole ear thing, either hid under the house, they sneak him some food here and there. Oh, I don't know. Because when you're watching the anime, there's a lot of, and I was going to say this in my, when it came my turn to just talk, but there's a lot of POV shots. And these POV shots, they're showing you that somebody's watching. And at times you realize that it's either mom watching, Crone watching, or it's Phil watching. So it's like, sometimes you don't know who, but it's like that. I guess maybe Norman knew that. And he was like, somebody's watching at all time and I won't be able to even get that off. But I think, I don't know. I might've tried it still. That's me personally. I think he gave up a little too easy in my opinion. Ice?
Yeah, he did. I'm trying something. I can't go out like that.
Yeah, I just you looking the demons right into the eyes and being like, all right, man, just take me, bro. Did he? Did he fight like? Come on, look at this.
You gonna have to earn it.
Yeah,
you have to earn it.
I'm with you. You go when if I die that death, y'all fought for that death.
Y'all gonna be tired, sweating like fuck. Like, yeah.
That meat was good, but damn, that boy, he put up a fight, Brennan.
You know, I don't know. I'm trying to remember the show, but I remember thinking that Norman was very brave for what he did. And the reason I thought that was because all the things you guys are saying, I think the reason that he had to make the decision that he did is that if he did fight, if he did express knowledge that he wasn't excited to go meet his adoption parents, then that could throw the jeopardy of everything else that they have planned for everybody else into jeopardy, because right now they know the alien things don't know that they know the aliens are trying to eat them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they know that. The only person that knows any of this stuff really is mom. And mom only kind of sort of, she only partially knows what's going on in the sense of what their plans are and how it's going. And so if Norman was to rock the boat, as you would put it, in hiding or acting like he knew that it was coming and fought against it or did anything that was any way out of the normal, Norman, like that could put everybody else in jeopardy. You know, it's because they're like, wait, so if this one kid knew, how do we know all the other kids don't know? And then they have a whole different way of how the farm works at that point. And so it fucks up everybody else's life just to selfishly try to save your own. And so for
Okay, go ahead. Because I was going to say, no, one of the other plans that they said was hurt yourself like Emma did so they won't be able to ship you off because you're damaged goods at this point. And he was just like,
I mean, yes and no, but the thing is, even if he did hurt himself in that sense, then they just take one of the other two smart kids. You know what I'm saying? So if you do that, then they're just going to replace the shipment with another one of the kids, probably.
But they moved him up. They moved him up purposely because they suspected him as being somebody that would that knew what was going on. So
they moved, and if he hurt himself, and the thing is, and even if he did hurt himself, they say, well, your family really wants you, and still just take him on a fucking wheelchair and then let him, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm saying, I don't think that, like, at that point, since they moved his date up, I don't think that's going to change too much. I think Norman already thought through all those scenarios. Like, I say it right now, that kid is smarter than I am. You know what I'm saying? That kid
at his
is
age, with, too.
Yeah, that kid at his age is smarter than I am now, for what he showed in that show. And so, in that sense, if he made the choice to sacrifice himself, he didn't do it because of the kindness of his heart. He did it to save everybody else. And so for me, I am going to take that same L that he took, because he obviously is understanding what I just explained and then some about that situation, and realize this is the only way that everyone wins, is that I have to lose. That's my argument.
Okay. All right.
That was a solemn argument. Is it my turn again?
No. Or did you ask a question? He has to ask a question. I just ask a question.
Yeah, my question is, whose mind do you have as far as escaping? Are you the raised thought of mind where it's like just the smart kids, just a couple of us and we bouncing? Or you have the eminent type of mind with the big heart and it's like either everybody or nobody?
You got to answer.
Yeah, me personally, I got to rock with the whole squad. Like, you know, especially these, like I said, again, if these are kids that I never met, never had any interaction with, then I might be a little liable. Or if these kids that were fucking with me or like we had cliques or something like that, then that'd be more understandable. But from the looks of it, everybody, all the kids fuck with everybody. Like they all love each other. And if we a big family like that, like I can't, even if when I do escape, that shit gonna be in the back of my mind. Or if I do escape, my thought process is I gotta do something to get them back. But like they said, You the place that you're going to try to come back to is going to be some maximum security prison type shit. Because once you guys escape, y'all fucked it up for everybody else. They're either going to kill all the kids or do some next level shit to where nobody going to be able to leave ever. So it's really, you got to get everybody out in that moment. So even seeing how they did it, I mean, you know, I guess it makes the question easier because you saw how they were able to do it. But in the fight, like, if we didn't even see that and it was some like damn near impossible thing to take everybody, I'm still going to, you know, try to devise a plan to take everybody.
Brennan?
It's a hard question. I think
you
that
need me to answer
I
first
would.
Or you got it?
What'd you say?
You need me to answer first or you got it?
No. I'm just, it was a dramatic pause. I was taking a beat. I hate to say what I think I would do, but I think I would actually take Ray's plan. And the reason I would take Ray's plan isn't out of selfishness. It's out of just probability of success. Is that I'd be like, if the smartest and oldest of us can't escape, then we have the loyalty to the rest of the people that as soon as we escape, if in any way that we can, as we, you know, figure out whatever resources we have on the outside, can figure out a way to save everybody else, we're going to do it. So if somebody told me like, hey, by the way, if I'm looking at this and probability says that there's an 80% chance that the four smartest kids can or three smartest kids can escape by themselves, and there's a 20% chance that all of us can escape together, you know, which one you gonna do? I'm gonna take the 80. I'm gonna take the 80 every time, even if I'm not one of the smarter kids. Even if I'm one of the kids that's just like getting left behind, I'll say leave me. And the reason I'll say leave me is like leave me and do everything you can to save us so at least we have some hope.
But what if it's like I said, to where once they leave, everybody get murdered or it's maximum security? Because they're not going to keep going by how they, like the form is going to change dramatically once y'all escape. Like once that shit happened, something's going to happen to either everybody dies or the security is going to go through the roof, or they're going to bring the actual demons on the property. Like something's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't guaranteed in it. So you're adding an extra freight thing to it. And I agree that something probably would change. But I don't know, man. Like I said, I still probably stick with that choice because, you know, it's like everybody or nobody with a really high probability of nobody happening is like, I would rather have at least some of the fam be able to survive and remember my name versus all of us die. You know what I'm saying? Like, because it's just more likely that all of us are going to die with that says like more likely all of us are gone. Like that's probably what's going to happen. Like that's already guaranteed if we do nothing. If all of us try to move together.
I'm trying to figure out your logic because I feel like you say you would sacrifice yourself, but then it's like in this case you're like I don't want to die, so let's go with this particular plan. So
I want somebody to live. it's my logic behind this whole thing is I want somebody to live. Like, okay. If we're a family and all of this, I want somebody to live, even if it's not me. I want somebody to live. And if you give me those percentage ratios where it's like the smart kids escape and they have a really high probability of being able to get out, and they promise they're going to do everything they can to help us, and they're the smartest, these kids specifically, then I'd be like, y'all go ahead and figure it out. We'll do what we can to survive. If I'm one of the smart kids, I'll say the same thing. I'm going to give out 110%. I'm going to try to do this. We're going to escape. We're going to figure out a way to get you guys out of here to the best of our abilities. If everybody, and if Emma's just like, yo, but we got to take everybody or it doesn't matter, I'd just be like, oh, I guess we're not going then. Right, guys? You know, I would leave Emma. Yeah, I would leave Emma. Because I wanted to, but I just, for me, I'm just thinking about like, right now the guarantee is all of us are dead. That is the only guarantee we have in this life, is that we're dead before the age of 13. Every single one of us is dead before the age of 13. And Emma's thing is that we have to escape with everyone. And I'm like, but most of these kids can't run fast enough to escape anything. You know, the plan would have to work so seamlessly and so perfectly that you don't have yet, that none of us have. If that plan, we had a perfect plan, I'm like, okay, let's go for it. But that plan is extremely difficult, very unlikely, and all, it's just not looking good. I'm going to go with the let's get who out of here who we can, because it's better than none of us, even if it's not me.
So for me, this is hard, and I don't know if I would.
Every question in this show is hard, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
This. I honestly would take the Keenan plan, not the Ray plan, not the Norman plan, the Emma plan. The Keenan plan, which would be, because one, here's the thing, it's honestly kind of a combination between, I guess, maybe a combination between Ray and Emma, right? I want to take all the kids, but one, it's going to be tough because little kids snitch the most. Two, little kids, they snitch on accident. They don't even be snitching on purpose. So it's even harder to even get them to tell them they know what's going on. But I guess what my plan would be is like, all right, and maybe this is why Ray didn't do it, because he knew that Isabella was his mother. But at this point, if you're killing people, I wouldn't give a shit. I'm like, all right, the earliest time possible, we got to figure out what time mom has to, quote unquote, tap in and talk to the people in that little machine or whatever like that. If she doesn't have to talk to them until later that night, that she's giving her review at night, you kill her early in the morning. You murder her early in the morning, and then you get everybody to fuck about it during the day. And then y'all escape. That would be, I know that might not be the smartest plan, but that's how I guess I would do my plan, is in a sense, all right, find out what that time is, kill mom as early as possible so we had time to grab the little kids about it there too. They ain't going to necessarily be a nuisance. We could take our time because she's dead. She ain't got to report to 10 o'clock at night. We did this shit at 10 a.m. in the morning. We got hours. Get everybody up out of there. They won't know until probably 11 p.m. or 12 p.m. when they send somebody there. And we already gone, long gone by then.
So that would be... Isn't it a notification when they die or something is turned off? When they didn't get turned off? So when she died, her thing would get turned off.
You talking about Isabella?
Yeah, because she still got the thing in her ear too.
So if it's either killing her that way or restricting her, so pretty much tying her down and gagging her, whatever the case may be, I mean, that would be the plan I would probably try to go for the most. It's stabbing her up so she's fucked up and then overpowering her and strapping her down. And hopefully, if she bleeds out, slows and dies and whatever. But if she can survive longer so the things don't go off, we good. But I would try to keep her restraint so we can get up out of there. Because I'm with Ice in the sense of like my morals and ethics is just, I would feel fucked up. I would be dying inside every day knowing that I let 20 other kids die or 30 other kids die, to be honest. So yeah, I'm gonna revise and go with the Keenan plan. It might be
If I were to go out there, because they said that there's human out there is living a regular life, I would go out there and be like, "Fam, what the fuck are y'all on? Like, let's band together and go save these kids. Like, what the fuck are y'all doing out here? Like, because they know what's going on, but they just the regular humans just don't give a fuck."
Yeah. Mm. All right. Do you have any other questions? I mean, we're pretty much at an hour right now.
I have one last question. How does this show make you feel about factory farms? Me? I've seen cows running around and playing and enjoying life on multiple occasions. My grandfather's owned cows. I've been around them. Because the thing is, this whole show is a factory farm show. That's what it is. Mm. Like, that's just what it is. This show is a play off of what we do to our animals. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're the aliens in this show. That's what it is. And so for me, I'm just like, this is the kind of shit that makes you want to be a vegetarian. Because we don't know the dramas that are going on inside of those factory farms, but we know they're happening. We know that cows have like feelings. You know what I'm saying? We know that they care about each other. They care about themselves. They care about life. They have pleasure. They have pain. They have sadness. We know all these things to be true. Like, these are not debatable topics. Like, there's even different levels of intelligence in different breeds of cow. There are some cow that are really stupid, but there's some cow that are actually pretty smart that are dog-like. I don't know if you've ever seen it before, but there's like videos of people online playing fetch with cows and shit. Like, the cows will go get it and bring it back to you and then run off and get it again like a dog. And so for me, I'm like, what's the difference? And pigs are smarter than dogs. You know what I'm saying? Like,
they are, yeah.
Yeah, pigs are smarter than dogs. Yet we treat them the way that we do. And factory farm them, do all that. So how does this make me feel? It makes me feel horrible. It just adds another layer to the why I feel horrible about this show. And I felt like shit while I was watching the whole thing. I feel like shit. Like, I watched this whole show. I had to watch One Punch Man and Mob Psycho in between episodes so that my soul could have balance. Because this show depressed me because I was looking at it from a macro site the whole time. But yeah,
I mean, you don't feel that bad because you're still eating meat, so.
Facts. yes and no. Actually, Keenan, you would believe, like, I actually don't eat that much meat. Like, my meat consumption has gone down drastically over the past couple of years. Drastically. I used to have to eat meat with every meal. Now I get pre-made meals from Tony Baker's girlfriend, Sabrina. That's all vegan. And so I say, like,
you gave me one, yeah.
Yeah, so like 2/3 of what I eat now is vegan. You know, so it's like, yeah, I still eat meat, but significantly less than I have before. So, you know, you can make fun of me, but I'm actually on the path to, you know, practicing what I preach.
Yeah, bitch. That's good. I mean, like I said, I go as far as just eating kind of seafood here and there. But yeah, I didn't even, you know, it's funny. I didn't even go as far as thinking that, what you said about the factory farms. When you just said that, that just made me go, damn, it made me have another, emotion attached to this show. And it's like,
I had it the whole time.
I have other different emotions attached to the show, which I'll get into when I give my part of it. But it's like, damn, bro. Like, yeah. I forgot your question.
How does it make you feel about factory farming?
Yeah, how does it make you feel about factory farming?
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. Like, for me, once I started seeing those videos about, like, just animals getting slaughtered, it made me just think of, when you said that, I just put those together now. Just like, damn, that's what it is. That's pretty much what this is, essentially. When people were saying that, you know, cows actually go through real stress. Like, the animals go through real stress, and you know it's stress. So you can taste, like, in the meat, the meat tastes different. The meat is different.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. I didn't know that, especially when I'm younger. I'm not thinking that either, that they're going through actual stress before they're getting fucking electrocuted and stuff like that, and that stuff is jacked up. I pretty much already, like I said, I eat seafood occasionally. I gave up all the meat years ago. So I mean, I kind of already kind of been on that hype a little bit, for the most part. But yeah, it's been fucked up, and I think this gives a perspective a little bit. Ice,
I don't give a fuck, not at all. Like, it's animals. And thing too, the crazy part about me, especially when vegans and vegetarians say that I don't eat because of what they do, the cruelty to animals, that shit is, that's hypocrisy, because vegetables, fruits, and all of that stuff, do they not realize who make that stuff? The immigrants that are underpaid, overworked, work till exhaustion. Some immigrants are work till they die for making sure that fruit is good, making sure vegetables are good for gardening, all that stuff. Like, they think that the food, the vegetables and fruit that people get, like, it just grows and then people grab it and then people eat it. Like, no, like, those are immigrants out in the fields that are getting, like I said, underpaid, that are getting worked to death to get the food and that you're consuming. So you're so worried about what's happening to animals, but you're not worried about what's happening to immigrants and people who are making these, you know, the fruits and the vegetables. So I think it's hypocrisy at its finest. So that's why I never align. Now, if you just do it because you want to be healthy and you want to stay in shape and all that stuff, that's fine. I have no qualms with that. But if you're doing it just because of what is happening to animals, then that's hypocrisy, because fruits and vegetables come from, you know, immigrants that are overworked, underpaid, even worked until exhaustion, working 16, 18 hour days. And that's like, that doesn't align with me. And also too, only way that you can really be like not a culprit of this is if you're growing your own food. I mean, excuse me, you're growing your own vegetables, growing your own fruit from your own garden and eating that, then it's like, okay, cool. But if you're buying stuff, if any type of produce that you buy that's either fruits or vegetables or not meat, you're part of the problem too. So no, I don't, that doesn't bother me at all.
Do you want me to do this?
Go ahead, rebuttal, yeah.
Your arguments are so fucking stupid. Like, I normally wouldn't be that direct about it. Like, normally I would try to be politically correct and say like, oh, you know, Ice, maybe you should look at it from this perspective or that perspective. But this one right here was so fucking stupid that I just have to say that was stupid. It was stupid. It's like you're comparing two completely separate situations and acting like they're equal. Like, well, the people who are picking the vegetables are being mistreated. I was like, oh, they're being put into factory farms and systematically slaughtered after a horrible life and then not getting paid for it. That's what they're doing.
That is the same.
But the thing is, what you're saying though is like, yeah, nobody is arguing with you that there is a problem with migrant workers, but that also doesn't guarantee where all of the produce comes from. So all the produce doesn't come from migrant workers.
A majority of it comes from me.
There's a problem with that. There is a problem with that, and that is
a huge problem.
That is a separate problem.
Wait, Brett, let him talk and then rebuttal.
I'll let you talk and then rebuttal. I'll let you say all your dumb shit. Let me say what you think is my dumb shit. So all I'm saying is that these are two completely separate issues that are very different, very different. And so for you to say the reason why I don't believe this is an issue is because of this completely different issue that has nothing to do with the other one, and you're a hypocrite if you don't believe this one or that one, is a stupid argument. Because when somebody says that this is happening to animals and it's fucking horrible, they're not saying anything about humans. And so this almost is like an All Lives Matter argument, where it's just like, we're saying black people need help because we're being fucked over. And you're saying, well, you know, there's some white people that are getting fucked over too. It's like, yeah, but that's not this problem that we're talking about. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what's happening at these fucking factory farms. And it is horrible. And you can't deny that. So for me to express that there is a problem doesn't make me a hypocrite by saying that that's a problem. I didn't say anything else about this separate problem. And that kind of dissonant, like that kind of logic, is the entire reason why Trump is in the office right now.
Not even. So the fact that you try to do that with Black Lives is a stretch among all stretches, because those two things are...
Wait, did you say my argument was a stretch?
Yeah, because those two things...
Let it go, Brennan.
Those two things are synonymous. If you're saying... I'm not saying that it's not fucked up. I will say that how they... the farm system and all of that stuff... that's fucked up. That's not my thing. But if you're going to say, hey, I'm not eating meat because of the cruelty that happens to an animal, this is my sole reason, but you're taking a blunt, but I will consume these fruits and vegetables that are being given to me, and I'm able to consume them because of the pain and suffering that are happening to millions of humans, then you have no argument, because that stuff is synonymous. You can't say that the atrocities that happen to animals is not this, like, it, just because these immigrants aren't in a farm system, we're not eating.
The term is migrant workers.
Yeah, whatever, migrant workers, they're still, like I said, they can end up dying from working. They're criminally paid, way under minimum wage. The work environment that they have to work into, like, you can't say, oh, I'm gonna do this because they're getting slaughtered and stuff, but I'm gonna go eat and consume food that, like I said, is given to me because migrant workers are busting their ass and getting underpaid and overworked, and I'm okay with that. Like I said, the only way that you can be a true vegan or vegetarian is if you... I'm not saying that they're, but I'm saying if you can't have energy for one thing and not energy for X. A better what you're trying to say, because your Black Lives Matter versus All Lives Matter example was trash. What you really want to say is, it's like when people say Black Lives Matter and then they be like, well, trans Black Lives don't matter, or I'm still homophobic. That would have been a better argument instead of that All Lives Matter bullshit you tried. Because a lot of times in the Black community, people say Black Lives Matter, but then when it comes to Black trans or even Black women or Black gay people, they like, nah, I'm good, bro. So I think that would have been a better argument, but you didn't. You came with that All Lives Matter bullshit. But like I said, you have to have that same energy. If you're going to have that for...
Well, so here's what I think here's what I got from what y'all were trying to say, somewhat. I feel like what Brennan was trying to say was that's a totally different, like, he's not saying that other one is not wrong. And
they're not different.
So you putting them together and saying, if you do this, you don't fuck with that. I think Brennan's saying, like, no, I can not fuck with that and not fuck with this. And
but if you're consuming produce, then you fuck with that.
Not necessarily, because there's ways you could consume produce. If you're going to a farmer's market that people farm at their own farms, you can easily not fuck with that easily. That's what I do. We get the majority of our fruit and vegetables and stuff from farmer's markets.
Yes.
So that's what, I'm not saying I'm a vegan, because I'm not yet, but in that particular argument, that's what we're doing, because we understand that one, when you're getting fruit from other places, from either from migrant workers too, that shit has pesticides, they're putting all these chemicals inside of them. They're not even necessarily good fruit anyways. So you want to get the best fruit from the actual farms that people pick their own fruit and say, hey, this is from my farm that I picked. Here are the strawberries, here are the spinach, here's whatever the case may be. So I see the point that you were trying to make, Ice.
Even then, there has been so many stories of even people that are at farmers markets that have their own farms that do the same shit. They have migrant workers working at their farm. That's why it's just the only way.
And hold on a second. One thing. The other thing, Ice, is that I don't know how many migrant workers you know, or how many farms you've visited and actually been a part of what's going on there. Is that some migrant workers are actually treated really well. And there's some problems. And there's definitely some real problems that needs to be addressed. I fully agree with that. But you're getting into immigration.
But
Let him finish.
So like I was saying, like, if you look at the actual problem, what you're doing is you're describing an immigration issue in the United States specifically. This is not a global catastrophe that is happening everywhere in the world. This is a United States issue that is an immigration issue, mostly based in policy. That's what's happening there. In the policy, we need to address that migrant workers need more rights. They need to have the same rights as workers in the United States and be to get paid minimum wage at the least and get the same kind of benefits that other workers in the United States are supposed to get. That is your argument. I agree with that. They are supposed to have OSHA rights. They're supposed to get all that. I fully agree. And there are some migrant workers that are already getting that, because there's some farmers that are just good people and they treat people well. And I know some of those farmers, and I've seen some of the farmers that are fucking people over too. Because as you know, I work on a lot of documentaries that have a lot to do with agriculture. Like, I do this shit. You know what I'm saying? So I know exactly what you're talking about, probably better than you do. And so all I'm saying is, like, yes, Ice, you're identifying a real problem, but that real problem is about immigration. It's not about food supply chain problem. It's not about, like, the way we treat entire species and farm them out and destroy everything, including our environment, just to have it. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a horrible system that we've created, that I was addressing that system, not the immigration system. Two different systems that we're addressing that are fucked up.
They're synonymous.
And that you believe they're synonymous is the root issue of this problem.
It's food. That's what makes it synonymous. That's why it's synonymous, because you saying that I know a couple people that have farms that have migrant workers that are treating you right, that's like, I know a couple good cops. Like, who gives a fuck? Like, cops are bad. You saying that I know a couple good cops, that
you
means shit
cops
to
are
me.
Bad.
They are. So it's like, all, if you feel like, if you say defund the police, all this other shit, or like cops, fuck 12, anything that, like, saying the cops are bad, and you say, like, because of police brutality, then somebody say, well, I know a couple good cops. Is there good cops? 100%. But that doesn't make the other shitty cops any less shitty or any better. So it's like, you saying that there's farmers that have migrant workers and treat them right, 100%. I agree with that. But for every one or two farms that has migrant workers that are, and you have all of the benefits and healthcare, all that stuff.
Don't throw numbers you don't know, Ice.
Yeah, I'm just saying. But for every, what I'm saying, for every couple of them, there's a bunch more that aren't. Numbers are not. There are more migrant workers that are getting the short end of the stick than not.
Ice, the thing is that you're not understanding is that we're not disagreeing about that.
But I'm, like, and then you saying that they're two different things, but they're not. If I'm a vegan and my sole purpose of being a vegan is because of the cruelty that is happening to animals, I need to have that same energy for what's happening to migrant workers. Are migrant workers being farmed and killed? No. But migrant workers are being overworked and underpaid, which is a cruelty to human. That's a human rights issue. That's a civil rights issue.
Why can't a vegan be both? That's my whole point. Like, how do you know that vegan people aren't fighting for that too? How come you can't be both?
That's what I said.
Keenan is literally an example.
Keenan
is literally a person that's an example of exactly what we're talking about. He's living that life right now.
That's the same thing, because even going to farmers markets, these farmers have migrant workers.
And you're assuming they do. You're assuming that all farmers markets that we're getting it from. So you can't speak in factuals when you don't fully know what farm is doing what. And that goes for me too. But I'm saying,
but there's farmers but you don't, you know, you're gonna be like, hey, farmer, are your migrants work? Like, show me your paperwork for your migrant workers. Like,
you absolutely can.
Yeah, you can actually do that. But
I'm just saying,
I'd like to formally retract myself from this argument. I've said everything that I need to.
Yeah, I was going to say we're going to move on anyway, because it's running in circles. But so let's get to our likes and dislikes for the show. You can go ahead and lead off, Ice, and give your score at the end.
Favorite part of the show. Just the plot overall. I think the plot overall was really good. It's very dark, but damn, it's a very good part. The plot was by far the best part of the show. A specific moment that was my favorite was just the end with her putting together that was her son. I think that was a very, very, very well thought out, you know, way to tie it all together. And in that moment, you know, everything coming. The culmination of all that was pretty good. Least favorite part, Crone. I didn't like that. I didn't like how they drew her. I didn't like it just rubbed me the wrong way. It just rubbed me the wrong way. It gave me mammy vibes. Even especially being on a farm, AKA a plantation. Like I didn't like it at all. I did like though how the creatures were drawn. How the creatures were drawn. I feel like the art style on them was very, very great. I would have loved to see just them out and fighting and attacking and eating. I feel like if they were to make a world around them specifically, I think that would have been pretty dope. Overall, I feel like we say this time and time again. I feel like me more specifically say this time and time again. This show wasn't deserving of 12 episodes. A mini 6 to 8 episode stretch would have been better. I know that they, you know, they have to get greenlit for at least 12, but I think a lot of the plot was just talking. Like there were just scenes where it was just talk. And I think that's what kind of got me out of it. Like I said, plot great, characters great. I like the three guys, and even Gilda and Dawn, I like those as well. But the going over the plan after plan after plan after plan after plan through all these episodes kind of took me out of the show. So overall, I give it a 5,800.
Yeah. I'll go next. For me, one of my favorite parts of the show was just that episode kind of one reveal of these episodes. Just like that pulled me in. I wasn't going anywhere. So I kept hearing about this and some people, I watched the trailer first and I was like, oh, this shit looks trash. I think Brendan might've said something. I was like, this shit looks horrible. Why would I want to watch this show? Cause they don't give you a way to plot at all. They just say, they got to escape from this orphanage. I'm like, ah, whatever. And that first episode, I was like, my jaw was like, fam. Cause I already kind of, I already kind of believe in, like, they harvest and they kind of use black, not just black people, but they use people, they eat kids. I'm kind of one of the people that kind of like, that's not far-fetched to me. So, or they organ harvest. I can kind of see that really happening on the black market, right? So that just gave me that deeper meaning of like, this show is hitting something deeper than just being a regular anime to me. I kind of agree with Ice in the sense of when, you know, Chrome popped on screen, I was a little disgusted because I was just like, I'm sick of how we're kind of depicted in anime, but it's just consistent. It's been consistent. I was like, this is just, it was very mammy-ish. Even though I think the voice actor did a really good job in the sense of actually voicing her, I watched the English version, the dub, as you already know. So that was my least favorite part. Overall, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I disagree with Ice in the sense of like, it was just too much talking. I was watching these episodes and wanted to get to the next four. I watched them in fours, how we would normally watch it. And I wanted to get to the next four very quickly. Sometimes I watch five or six. And I enjoyed it. I think they gave me enough to hang on. I think the way it ended and that fucking reveal of him being her son. And what I want to know, I want to see what's going to happen in season two. They already got greenlit for a season two. I kind of accidentally fell into some spoilers. So I already know there's some things that we were talking about that's kind of like, oh, shit, that. So I can't give that up because y'all don't care about spoilers like I do. But now I'm definitely tapped into season two. I might even read the manga because I don't think it's that long. So my overall score personally, I'm going to give it a 7,400. Brennan?
This is a hard show for me to score because I can look at this from two different ways. It's like, I normally just score something based upon how much I like it. And normally that's concurrent with how it makes me feel. But this show is different. This show, I really like the writing, the world building, the characters, the development, the progression of the stakes that keep getting higher no matter what's going on. But this show did not make me feel good. Like, I felt like shit every time I watched this show. Part of it was because I was already in that perspective. I picked up on the factory farm thing immediately. Then they did the tags on their ears and shit. And I'm just like, oh,
makes
fuck.
Sense. Makes sense.
Yeah. So I was watching it from that perspective the whole time. And I was pretty hurt watching the whole thing. And like I said, I had to like pepper in happy anime in between. So I was watching like two or three episodes at a time. Then I would be emotionally exhausted, but I'd want to keep going. But I'm like, nah, I'm gonna be depressed tomorrow if I don't fucking like watch something happy right now. But it was done really well. My favorite thing was probably, honestly, my favorite thing is how it came out the gate. Episode one is one of the best single episodes I've seen of any anime in any show ever. There's no question about it. I don't think you could show episode one of this show to anybody and they're like, all right, how do I not watch the rest of this? You know what I'm saying? Like, how do I not watch the rest of this? Like, that was one of the greatest setups I've seen in any media in general. True. Like, it was super well done.
Amazing.
Incredible. And the secondary thing that I really liked and hated was, Norm's death. Fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, they set that kid up so you love him. He's one of the most lovable deaths I've seen in anything as well. Like, I loved Norm. Like, Norm is who you want to be. I aspire to Norm. You know what I'm saying? Like, the way this kid moved through life, he always was two steps ahead of everyone else, gave a fuck about everybody else, supported everybody else, and was loved by all. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was deficient in no way. And he added value to every conversation, everything he did. He was fucking Jesus in this show. And of course, what happens in the story of Jesus? Motherfucker dies. And then he's resurrected as a goddamn ghost. Like, you know, as they're like leaving, you know, he's touching them and loving on them and shit. But the thing I didn't like about the show, I'll say Aunt Jemima for sure. That was tough. You know, a little bit. It didn't affect me as much, but now that you guys are saying it, now that I'm looking at it that way, I didn't even look at it that way because I was trying to guard my emotions while watching the show. But now that you say it, like, yeah, she was a little bit coonery. So I did not enjoy that.
I will say, I think the other black girl that was in the show, her name was like Jemima or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't think they went, they definitely didn't go full racist. I'll say that. Like, there is like, it was like, it was like,
they didn't do Mr. Popo.
No, it was like, it was like racist light, because the character had more dimensions than just like, I'm a stereotype black woman. It was just like, right. I have the look and some of the inclinations and the sounds of what you would think this would be. But the actual character that she played was a very diverse character. Like, that character could have been any color. You know what I'm saying? So I actually like that, where that character had a huge, meaningful aspect to the plot. And also, you saw development of that character, and, you know, had a, that whole character just had an arc. That was a really good arc, you know, in that 12 episode series. Like, it was a really good arc. So I actually enjoyed her arc. I just didn't enjoy that, you know, there was racist tones to it that were completely unnecessary. Overall, it was a wild ride, and something that I would recommend to somebody is never, ever, ever their first anime, but maybe their second. so I would go, I would settle on this one at about a, I say about 7,700. I think it's just really, there's no deficiencies to the show. Ice is like, they're talking too much or whatever. It's like, nah, man, like, they're building plot, they're building world, they're building characters. I think that they
I think in comparison to Death Note, and my bad, but in comparison to Death Note, it's like, when Death Note, it was talk heavy, very low on action. But when they talked and when they did stuff, it pushed the plot forward. They spent 4 episodes devising the same plan versus Death Note. It's like, when they were talking, shit was happening, shit was going on, people were actually dying. Like, that was my thing, because especially coming back to it after watching Death Note, it's like, no, you can successfully push the plot forward with even more episodes. Over 37 episodes, they pushed the plot forward a lot quicker.
I think Death Note did a better job, but I don't think necessarily Promised Neverland did a terrible job.
No, I mean,
I'm not saying they did a terrible job either.
Hey, this is my turn. So what I was saying is that to address what you said, Ice, is that, like, they pretty much, it could have moved a little bit faster, but I'm happy it didn't. And the reason I'm happy it didn't is because this show is more focused on character development than plot progression, because plot progression is either they live or they die. You know what I'm saying? We know from episode 1 what the whole plot is. It's not, this plot doesn't necessarily fully progress. It just gets more complicated. So it's not like you're really looking for plot progression in this show. It's more so you have to have more stakes in this show. You have to give more fucks about the characters. And to be able to give more fucks about the characters, you have to get to know them better. And even in that plan, they kept adding the variables that were, because the plan was so complex. And there's the complexity came from the different personalities of those characters, how they interact, and how they're able to keep the secret and be able to practice the plan without letting that plan be let out. That is plot progression. You know what I'm saying? Like, that is that. And they made it into a little bit of action in the way that they play their games. So I think that the way that they did that, they could have easily fumbled in the way you're talking about, but I don't feel like they did. I don't feel like it was a fumble, and that's why I rated it so high. Like, I think they kept you engaged all the way through, kept me anxious. I'll say is the word that I will play. I was anxious as fuck watching this show, but it kept me anxious all the way through, and that's why I got the rating it did. It did exactly to me that I think what the director was trying to do.
That's one note I do want to say. The direction on that anime is probably some of the best direction I've ever seen in any anime.
What'd you give it again?
1,500.
Okay, just making sure.
Yeah,
I feel like it gave a lot of emotion, and I feel like something can make you emotional and make you fucked up and still be amazing. Cause I felt like, I thought Brennan would give it a lower score, because he was like, man, I felt so bad inside. I was just like, that's a good thing. That means they did their fucking job. That means this, like I said, this director and this writer, they put together a hell of a anime, and they did a great job. That's why I gave it the rating that I gave it.
I stand by what I said. Fuck this anime, but they did a really good job of it. Like, fuck this anime. Like, if I had known what I was going to feel like watching this, I don't know if I would have watched it. But I couldn't stop after I started. After watching the first episode, you don't have a choice anymore.
If you would have told me the plot, I would have watched it immediately instead of pushing it off.
I had known the plot, I'd have been like, nope, not my kind of shit. It's like horror. This is the closest. Like, this is like horror anime.
Oh, you're not really a horror person. Not at all. I kind of rock with horror. I don't. But let us know y'all's scores. In the comment section, let us know. Also, answer all the questions. Let us know what y'all feel about the questions that we asked and how you feel about this anime overall. How did it make you feel, man? How do you feel about factory farming, man? What would be your plan in this situation, man? Or do you believe that they could be doing this somewhat in real life? Because, you know, that's another thing that made me kind of pat me a certain way too. With these orphanages, like and a lot of these orphanage, like a lot of these kids, like, we don't know what happens to them. Like, they go off into the world. Supposedly, some of these kids that are like. And these orphans that are in an orphan, like, they don't have any place to go. and they could easily be pulled and like you never heard of them again, or they get put into human trafficking or anything like that. So this is why this anime stuck with me, which is a crazy anime. So let us know what you think in the comment section about it overall, how it made you feel. Go ahead and drop your stuff, guys. Ice, go ahead.
Shout out to the farmers that treat their migrant workers right. If you don't, or you're a big corporation that doesn't, fuck you, suck a dick. Ice dot McGowan on everything.
At Mr. Producer Face on all the things.
Rob is at RV Danger on everything. Keenan Baker is on Keenan Baker on everything. And we thank y'all every week for tuning into another episode of Animation.
And so anime was solved forever.